What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are your hosts, Chase and Miles, and we are at the Lucky Duck. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. From the bottom of our hearts, today we have a special presentation for you. I hope you are watching this.
Ooh, snap. Hey, guess what? We got video on Spotify now, so if you guys are Spotify users, subscribers, whatever, and don't want to go to YouTube, the archaic model of YouTube, to watch our show, you can now watch the video component of our show right in Spotify.
Yeah, so pull your phone out right now so you can watch this.
Yeah. So, Miles, what are we drinking today? What's the cocktail of choice?
So, we talked a lot about this one, I think, on the last podcast.
Yeah.
One of the last podcasts. But this is going to be a absinthe. I guess it's a cocktail, technically, right?
Yeah.
So, it's basically, and you had this in Italy. Was it Italy or France?
It was France.
France.
It was southern France, just near outside of Nice.
Yeah.
In a small coastal town called Antibes. And there was just a bar specializing in absinthe, and I learned how to properly make an absinthe. This is like drinking whiskey, you know, with a little bit of simple syrup and some water, you know. It's good because water can bring out those like flavors in whiskey without like diluting it, you know. And
yeah.
like you would if you put water with like vodka. I don't quite know the components behind whether water will dilute absinthe, but the proper way to do it is to drip cold water over your absinthe spoon, and of course you get that block of sugar sitting right on top. So as the cold water drips onto the spoon, hits the sugar, it dilutes or breaks down the sugar into the drink, waters the drink down, gives it a sweet component. And now the absinthe is palatable.
Yeah.
Normally it's high proof alcohol. It's like taking a shot of like, what is it? Licorice vodka. Vodka. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, I guess so. It's like, I mean, look at it. It's neon green. It looks like you're going to get cancer from it. It should have a radiation sticker around it.
Yeah.
But today it's going to look a little different. I think it's going to look a different color green once we pour the water in.
It's gonna be like a watered down version of this green, sort of like a lighter version of it. So maybe like it'll probably look like urine, honestly.
I hope so. Yeah. I've never tried urine. I'd like to try today. But Chase has rigged up this little thing we've got here. So this is normally how they do it, right? They have a little stand, and then there's different spouts around it, and then you use your spout to pour the water out.
Yep. Typically, it's in the middle of the table, and so wherever you're sitting around that table, you'll have a spout, and you kind of just, however much you want. That's the good thing about this is there's no right or wrong amount of water. It's however much you want to do it, and the important part is it's breaking down that sugar, giving that sweet component, adding that to the drink, and really making this less of a hard liquor shot experience and more of a sipping, you know, cocktail. Think of like drinking sort of your whiskey neat, but adding a little bit of sugar water to it. Cold sugar water, I should mention. So we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and drip. I'm going to open up the spout.
Here we go.
And
don't fuck it up.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Oh, there it is.
It's
hitting the cube. Let's move the cube over a little bit, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, look at
that.
There
we go. Oh, hitting that.
The key is to like not overdo it, because you don't want too much water coming, just kind of like invading it, but you want a nice little drip.
So that it pulls the sugar down with it, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it'll just kind of go around it.
That cube is...
Oh, it's just breaking down.
Dude, it's like one of the Twin Towers. It's just falling.
Oh.
It's almost September 11th.
Oh, no.
Next week.
George Bush?
George Bush did 9/11. What?
Does he come? Does he like stay inside for that?
Yeah, it's not his favorite day.
Yeah,
it's probably his worst day of the year.
Right.
You know. Yeah, he loves his Texas Rangers. I know that he's a Rangers
He loves painting, you know.
He's a painter now. That's what you do when you when you're a president in your later years and you're sort of riding out. You paint. You go to sports games. You throw. He recently threw out the first pitch.
Did he do good?
You know, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
I've seen worse.
From grandmas and stuff?
From grandmas, you know, there was one that was like, oh, man, this guy can't do that bad possibly, but he did. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it was probably Jared from Subway.
Yeah, probably. Do you get a second chance?
You don't.
You just get one?
They're like one and done with this. The show has to go on, you know?
That would make me so nervous.
Yeah.
Wait, was it Kevin Spacey? No.
I don't know, but speaking of like performances and sporting events, this reminds me of you ever seen Roseanne's rendition of the national anthem?
No.
She just absolutely like, I don't know if it's intentional or not. When you watch it, you're like, she's doing this on purpose.
But it's out of
that
game?
Bad. Yeah, it's out of game.
So they invited her, and
yeah,
it was just really bad.
It was at the height of her popularity back when Roseanne was on the run of Roseanne, I should say.
Yeah.
And
it's before she got canceled.
Yeah, it's before she started tweeting on Benadryl or where the fuck she was taking.
Benadryl?
No, it was Ambien. Oh. All right, so here we go. This is I want to show you guys. If you guys are watching, it's great. And here's what it looks like.
One looks better to you?
This one is the final component or product, and this one is the before. So you can sort of see like the difference. This one's like a cloudy version of this drink.
A cocktail. This one looks like a liquid you put in your car.
Yeah, it looks like antifreeze. It looks like an antifreeze cocktail.
Yeah.
Or like if Mountain Dew made a liquor, this is what it would probably look like. What else does it remind you of? It looks like Shrek pissed in my cup.
Oh, true that. It does kind of look like him.
This is like, it's like the in The Simpsons, the nuclear facility, they like dipped this cup into the waste that comes out of it.
Yeah, exactly. You need a warning on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a smell. Let's see. It tastes exactly like Good and Plenty's. Does anybody know that candy, Good and Plenty?
You know, if we have some of our older listeners, they may know the Good and Plenty's. I feel like that's an old person candy.
Yeah.
Not because our dad eats them. And he's getting there in age, that's probably why.
Yeah, I mean, being kids and seeing your dad eat it, you're thinking like, I don't have any friends who eat it, and I would never eat that.
If I'm heading out to the store and I go, yo, I'm headed to the store. You want anything? And you go, give me a box of Good and Plenty. I'm going, no.
Yeah,
fuck off.
You might as well say, "Hey, can you? You sure you want to use the bathroom?" Then they go into the bathroom and you leave.
Yeah,
because you're that offended that they would think that you would get them a box of Good and Plenty.
Yeah, it's like no, and also we're not friends anymore. You know, that's how that's going.
Yeah. So Good and Plenty, not a good candy. This smells like Good and Plenty, so I don't have high hopes for it. But I'm gonna try it out. I don't like licorice. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah, not a fan.
I will give this a chance because I actually picked this cocktail today.
You did. I asked Miles, I was like, hey, for this week's podcast, what are we drinking? Like, I usually come up with the drink. I get Miles to bring the garnish or whatever. And this week I thought, hey, let's twist things up. I'm going to turn the tables. I'm going to let you decide. And he goes, you know what? All that talk last podcast about this absinthe drink is getting me kind of thirsty.
Yeah.
And so here we are. All right. So we have both drinks made. They are of consistent color. And so we're going to go ahead and cheers. And we're going to rate this. You know the drill. One bite.
One sip. All right.
All right. Here we go. You know, right off the bat, it's a manageable drink.
Yeah, it's a manageable drink.
Yeah, like you can actually drink this.
Yeah, you can.
Is it like my favorite flavor? No.
It's one of my least. But yeah. This would be delicious for anyone who really likes licorice or Good and Plenty, like any of that kind of licorice-like flavor.
Yeah.
It would be delicious. This is a great cocktail otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise, yeah. I give this a solid 7 out of 10. If we're like thinking, you know, from a quality standpoint and a palatable standpoint, you cannot drink absinthe by itself. You have to do it this way.
And pretty easy ingredients, right? You're not really making anything crazy here. You don't need like bitters and stuff. You just need sugar and water.
And really, and if you wanted to cheat a little bit and just like go right out, throw all culture and tradition out the window, you could just sprinkle some sugar right out of the packet with some cold water and call it a day.
Like I drove across the entire city today looking for sugar cubes.
Dedication.
Yeah. You don't need to do that.
No.
But you should.
But you should. And also, when you buy the like authentic imported wormwood absinthe, like I have, it does come with the little, I call it an absinthe spoon. It's basically like I described it in last week's. It looks like this. It is a flat spoon-like utensil, and it's got like this decorative, like punched-out hole pattern throughout. And that's where you put, you know, and it's got this little groove so it can sit on the rim of your glassware. It's pretty cool. And that comes with the bottle. So if you go to like a Total Wine or a reputable liquor store that carries this particular absinthe, it's got to be imported. This brand is just called Absinthe? Absinthe?
Yeah.
It's like the brand. It's like the absinthe brand.
It has to be imported?
Yeah, I think. Well, now I think they make it here in some cases. Mm-hmm. They do make absinthe here, but the traditional wormwood stuff is imported because during Prohibition, I think even before Prohibition, this particular liqueur was banned. Was like the wormwood. You could not import it into the United States.
Wormwood.
Yeah.
Is it because it's like a drug?
People have claimed that it does produce psychotropic or psychedelic properties.
Yeah, I've heard that about absinthe.
Yeah.
People say you drink it and then you get all paranoid or I don't know, see weird stuff. I don't think it's true.
No, you don't.
I don't think it's true, though, right?
No, certainly not. I think maybe in a lot of cases, this is like the truth behind it, which is like you had to have like concentrated amounts of it to have some sort of effect.
And like if you had that amount, then if it's absent, then you also had a large amount of alcohol.
Yeah, and probably would die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like too much of anything is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like mantra.
So what about if you smoke, if you get pure wormwood? That's a plant, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's Google it. What happens if you smoke it?
Probably not good to smoke it. I would imagine most everything that comes in after you burn it is like a form of carcinogen, right? And so typically not good to put that in your body.
Yeah, but we're not talking about goodness. We're talking about trying to get messed up.
We're trying to get wormwooded.
Yeah, it's like a herb like plant.
Mm.
So it looks like something that might like a weed that would grow in your yard, basically.
Yeah, and I think generally you can make absinthe without it. And
is that all the fake ones have?
That was like that's the thing is like it's like considered to be like quote unquote fake because it doesn't come from wormwood, but you can achieve this flavor by other means.
You know, if you plug your nose and take a sip of this, it's not too bad.
If you totally just ignore the flavor and component of this,
you get the taste buds. You know, you get a little bit of the taste on your tongue.
Mm-hmm. So wormwood is a species common and native to North Africa.
Yeah, I just saw African wormwood.
Yeah. It's naturalized in Canada as well, and the northern United States. It is grown as an ornamental plant and is used as an ingredient in the spirit absinthe and some other alcoholic beverages. So people were like, yo, this is so good, we're going to put in other stuff.
Yeah, people who like Good and Plenty. Maybe it was like the makers of Good and Plenty that did a campaign. They were like, guys, you like this in other drinks, right? And then they started making cocktails. Like, they made new cocktails just with this, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Trying to get people used to that licorice taste so that they buy more Good and Plenty's. Like, you go to the store, you're like, Mike and Ike's, Good and Plenty's. Which do I buy? I like licorice now. Obviously, Good and Plenty.
So, toxicity. Let's talk about that. The wormwood, most of the chemotypes inside of absinthium, which is, I guess, the sort of like scientific name of this particular species. It contains by itself is a GABA receptor, an antagonist. So if you consume it, it can cause convulsions and death when you take large amounts of it.
What?
Yeah. So don't like, do that.
How
do
much
not,
is large amounts?
Do not take large amounts of wormwood or eat them, eat the plant, because it is it does have a toxicity to it. However, there's only been one case documented of toxicity of wormwood, and it was involving a 31-year-old man. He actually drank a 10-milliliter vial of steam-distilled wormwood.
That doesn't sound like that much.
It's well, I guess if you distill it and it's an oil, you probably need a ton of it to get the oil from.
Oh, so it's like a tincture?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. It's like a concentrate, basically, that he made. It was 10 milliliters. And he wrongly, he took it thinking it was absinthe. And yeah, he ended up dying. Is not
good. How quickly?
Yep, not good.
Does it happen right after you take it, digest it? How long?
Yeah,
how long do
know.
We have? People need to know in the case they
don't
accidentally
know. Probably not. Probably not very long, I imagine. Although it should note that medicinal extracts of wormwood have not been shown to cause seizure or other adverse effects. So we're talking like smaller doses, things that are, I guess, used for medicinal purposes. But yeah, it's sort of it also has like a crazy cultural history. You know, William Shakespeare refers to wormwood in Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh.
Yeah, also in Hamlet.
What? This guy has
Act
a fetish.
Act 3, scene 2. Hamlet said, "That's wormwood," in response to the player queen expressing distaste for remarriage. John Locke, famous author, in his book entitled An Essay Concerning Human Understanding, uses wormwood as an example of bitterness, saying, "For a child knows as certainly before it can speak the difference between the ideas of sweet and bitter, i.e. the sweet is not bitter, and as it knows afterwards that wormwood and sugar plums are not the same thing." So he's using as in contrast to something sweet, wormwood being the bitter sort of contrasting component to that comparison.
Right. Yeah, because it's bitter. That's why people don't like licorice.
Yeah.
Because it's bitter.
Yeah. Well, you told me last time that it is an acquired taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it has known to be.
Supposedly it's an acquired taste, which makes me wonder, people who like black licorice, did you acquire it, or did you just
are you just fucked up from the beginning?
Yeah, because this could be a mental thing. Like, we might have just broke through why they're serial killers.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a brain study. I'm just putting this out there. Any of our scientist friends, please conduct research.
So here's a fun fact about absinthe. You know, earlier I had stated that it was banned in the United States. And it is in fact true that wormwood absinthe was banned in the United States for, get this, 100 years nearly.
Whoa.
From 1912, so this is before Prohibition, from 1912 to 2007.
What?
Wormwood absinthe was banned in the United States for sale. It is now legal in the United States, but only if it's thujone free, which is, I guess, a component of wormwood extract.
That's what gets you high.
That's the stuff.
Oh shit!
That's, you know, it was weird when I was in Italy and I went to that. I was feeling a little weird.
Yeah,
outdoors.
You're feeling weird.
A little goofy.
You're going home and you're seeing like weird shadows.
I was feeling a little slippery.
Everything was kind of moving like this.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Things were dancing. Things were jumping.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, we need to get some Thione absinthe wormwood.
It says absinthe was legalized in the United States in 2007. The French brand Lucid became the first genuine absinthe to be imported into the United States since its ban. And since then, St. George Absinthe Verte became the first American-made absinthe to be produced in the United States since 1912. That is insane to me. So here's some the Thujone. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. It's spelled Thujone. Absinthe made with wormwood, which contains this component, is a neurotoxic chemical compound. The TTB considers a product Thujone free if it contains less than 10 parts per million of that component. Scientific evidence shows that Thujone is only toxic in very high doses, which is kind of weird if they're banning it, because they know like it can't be. There's not that much in absinthe to begin with. It also continues to say that absinthe became known as a culprit in the degeneration of the French race back in the day. The temperance movements advocates injected rabbits and guinea pigs with pure wormwood to display results of convulsive deaths. So they did this as a display to show the harmful effects of. They were just here's the deal.
They were
pissed off because everybody was having a good ass time.
Oh.
And everybody was drunk, being merry, and they were like, look, here's what, you know, high doses. It's like the whole aspartame thing. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
When people are demonizing Diet Coke, and they're like, this shit's killing rats. Like, yeah, but what you neglected to mention was that you were injecting these bitches with, like, high doses. Take, like, 50 Diet Cokes to kill this rat.
50?
I don't know how many. I'm shooting from the hip on there, but it wasn't
one
can of Coke worth of aspartame.
I think what it was is France got pissed off at all the degenerates drinking absinthe, and they were like, we're going to teach everyone a lesson, started injecting all the rabbits, scared the Americans,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We banned it for no good reason.
Yeah.
100 years later, almost.
Yep.
And, yeah.
It could be. It's quite possible that if you were dying from drinking absinthe, it was probably from getting too much alcohol in your system.
That or contaminated water.
Was it called when you die from drinking too much? It's like toxic something syndrome.
Would that be cirrhosis?
Well, that's a repetitive abuse of alcohol will cause cirrhosis of the liver, but there's like a toxic shock syndrome or something that where if you like have too much alcohol in your blood, you will die.
Yeah. It's called, alcohol poisoning.
Oh, yep. That's it. I was trying to get too
no,
fancy.
No, I think
it.
Alcohol poisoning is the point when you become poisoned by alcohol.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. 'Cause I guess technically
it's different for everybody.
Well, I mean, like, when you drink alcohol, you're technically being poisoned by it, right?
But I guess there's a threshold. There's, like, a parts per whatever of, like, how much is in your blood,
right?
And that's considered, like, an official poisoning. But, yeah, you would be, I think, probably true that, even one drink is like you're technically poisoning yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part. But you can have too much fun and it can come to bite you. And the French people, they know.
Yeah, they know because they became degenerates.
They were all degenerates according to the temperance movement, folks. Yeah, it's a funny thing, the temperance. I did a deep dive into that recently, actually. Last year the temperance movement.
What's that?
It is the movement that sort of drove the idea of prohibition of alcohol.
Yeah,
it was called the temperance movement. It was they put out a bunch of leaflets and posters.
Who
and
did this? The U.S.
What do you mean? It wasn't the U.S. It was like a lobby. It was like sort of like what you would equate like a lobbyist group.
Yeah.
Today
was it the Christians?
A lot of it was associated with Christianity. You know, there was like songs produced as propaganda to sort of advocate for the prohibition of alcohol. A lot of posters and such. I did a deep dive into this because we opened up the company I work for a moonshine bar in Tennessee.
Yeah, classic.
And yeah,
there's a lot of those, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a deep cultural aspect to moonshining in Tennessee.
Is that real? That's like it was really a big thing in Tennessee?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Oh yeah. There's still people that can easily make moonshine in your bathtub.
Yeah, but that's not legal, right?
No, you cannot do that. You have to have a license to do that.
Can you make it for yourself?
That's a good question. Like you can brew beer.
Yeah.
You don't need a license to brew beer. Yeah, I don't know.
Beer's different.
I think there's a sort of regulation around like high alcohol spirits.
It's because they don't want you accidentally drinking and dying.
Well, yeah, it could be dangerous. Also, the distilling equipment could, you know, explode.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
But
government interfering.
Yeah. So, yeah, as a part of the project, I was doing some decor, and there was a lot of like old archives that I had to kind of comb through, and I found tons of cool photos of people when prohibition took effect and they signed it into law. There was a lot of documentation of people taking like mounds of barrels of wine and liquor and whiskey and like basically pouring them out in the streets and making a display of it. And so I took a lot of that, and it's
why were they pouring it out? Wouldn't they have wanted to save it for themselves?
Nope. No, it was a lot of like law enforcement.
Oh, okay. Like going to bars.
City officials. They would like gather up the town's alcohol in the street and like basically like pour it all out. Like bust open the barrels.
What was the
break the bottles?
Like what was the main driving force for that?
I mean, it was just basically like a notion of, this is ruining our country. People are becoming stupid, reckless. It's going to take, like, it's going to get out of hand. People can't control themselves when you're on alcohol. It's ruining families. It's ruining the nucleus of the Christian family. It was just like all of that.
It's really interesting that like alcohol has existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Right? Yeah,
I mean, longer than that, because there's, in nature, there's fermenting fruit on trees, and you'll have evidence of animals like elephants traveling miles and miles to go to these plants to get drunk.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, even with humans and like, I mean, we've lasted, right? Like there's been societies have come and gone and countries and stuff. And I mean, yeah, there's a lot of wars and whatnot, but probably not the direct result of alcohol. And so the Americans were just like, we're different.
Imagine though, like if you had a magic wand and you could just go, hey, that would seem like a fucked up situation. What was that, because of alcohol? Like how many bad moves in history were the direct result of like that guy who made all the decisions was like drunk one day and was like,
that's why World War II ended. That is why Genghis Khan ended up dying, right?
Mm-hmm. Got too drunk.
Yeah, I got too drunk.
Yeah.
Those Genghis.
Those Genghis.
Those Mongolians.
They know how to party.
Yeah.
They know how to party.
I think that, honestly, Obama.
Obama?
Yeah, Obama. I think
he got elected because everybody was drunk.
Yeah, got everyone drunk. He sent down a lot of alcohol to people who were crossing the border and gave them phones.
Oh, that is a great summary, actually. That's exactly what happened.
Like, I think I've had too much absinthe.
I think you're drunk. yeah, I think what is the alcohol percentage of this particular? Let's see, 55%.
Okay,
that's quite high.
Like a lot. Yeah,
that's quite high.
What would that be like? What would the proof be? Or like, what is
the proof is 110 proof.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like, for instance, a whiskey is like a 40. Yeah. Like a decent whiskey would be a 40%. So this has got 15% over that.
I wonder. I'm wasted.
You're.
I think the sugar
right now.
The sugar. What's it called? Ferments it more, right? Mm. It makes more of the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it turns into. I think when you mix sugar with alcohol and ice cold water,
yeah,
turns into alcohol. I took a lot of organic chemistry classes in college,
so I know
about this stuff.
I believe everything you're saying.
I worked in a lab.
Yeah. Shoeshine. Shout out to Shoeshine.
Yeah. Thank you, Shoeshine, for your mentorship.
It's a hell of a thing. Back in the day, when we didn't have a lot of money,
mm-hmm,
you know, and we're trying to buy alcohol, we used to buy Everclear.
Yeah,
which
Everclear
was like 190 proof. It's like 80% alcohol or something like that.
Yeah.
Oof, I can't believe we did that. So dumb. So dumb.
You know, it's fine. It's fine, right? You know, if you're just putting it in something to mix with, like, you're not drinking it, so, you know, it's alcohol.
If you dilute it enough, yeah. It's like a gin or a vodka, basically, but like supercharged.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you need less of it.
You need less of it, and you need more of the mixer. Mm-hmm. You know, so break out the Sunny D, break out the Hawaiian Punch. Blue.
Yep.
We used to drink what we call blue. Don't ask what it is.
Yep.
It's blue though.
It's blue.
And that is what it was.
We didn't ask what it is either.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's what. That was the policy around those parts.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
That's what we did. Speaking of alcohol, so you mentioned this to me a while back.
Hmm.
Well, not a while back, being a couple weeks ago. I brought up this interesting article about Kroger, and you mentioned something about how they are starting to experiment or planning to do some kind of dynamic pricing.
That's right.
On their goods. What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. I had seen something where they were looking into the idea of using technology to dynamically change the price of their products in the store based on who they were selling to.
Yeah.
What
if they don't, like, how do they know who they're selling to, though?
Well, if you have a Kroger account, that's one way, right?
Yeah.
There's also, when you walk into a store, the Internet of Things that you have on you will register and give a MAC address to sort of the technology receivers in the store.
So, but what I don't, so like when I go to a store, I'm looking for cheese, let's say, and I go to the cheese aisle and I see this cheese is $9.99 and this one is $5.99, and I like both cheeses, so I'm like, I'm gonna get this cheese because I don't need the $9.99 one, so I grab that one, right? Like, I never go to a store and just pick things out without knowing the price. And I know, like, probably most people are price conscious when they're shopping.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a select few who don't need to be conscious about that. So if I go there, they still need to have price tags, and I know they can be electronic.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at it and the person next to me is looking at it, won't we see the same price?
Yes, but when you go to the checkout, it may change. So there may be a disclaimer on that price tag going average price. Or they may give you a price range.
Okay.
Or if, like most, a lot of us are doing nowadays and where we're ordering online and we're picking up, if you go on your Target app, for instance, or let's just keep it in the vein of Kroger, you go to the Kroger app and you fill out your order and then you go to pick it up, the prices that are advertised to you on that app within the account that you log into may change based on who you are.
Okay.
And where you live. That's another factor. There's a geological factor to this, of course, you know.
So you can't drive across town to get cheaper groceries.
Some people do because the taxes are different based on where you live.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what I had read, like the initial thing is, I guess, Kroger owns King Soopers,
mm-hmm.
And City Market. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And then Kroger is also a grocery store, and in King Soopers, do they already have the electronic?
No, they don't.
They don't. Do you know if they do in Kroger and all the?
I don't, because I don't think I've ever been to a Kroger.
I think it's more
standalone.
Like the east and south and south.
Probably,
regions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I read that they've been putting them in. I think it was, and that was because, especially during inflation and stuff, they needed to change prices, and it's very manual to have to go and put mm-hmm. the things in. And then people were saying, oh, well, like now they can do dynamic pricing because of the ability to just change it in an instant. So mm-hmm. like today eggs could be $2.99, tomorrow they could be $4.99.
Yeah.
And and that's kind of like gas prices are that way, taxis are that way.
You know who's been doing it?
Tickets are that way
forever now, and I'm surprised there's not more stores that invest in this technology. Kohl's, for a decade now, has been using electronic price tags.
Yeah,
and that's why they're still in business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, people are like, oh hell yeah, they just raise their prices anytime.
I can't think of another store that changes the prices of each of their products faster than Kohl's does.
Yeah.
Because Kohl's moves through product, and their philosophy is get it in at a discounted rate. It's already these known brands. This is like the TJ Maxx and Ross model. They get these brands. They're not like the flagship products. They're they're not even sometimes a lot. For a while, they were saying, oh, this is stuff that doesn't sell, and so we're giving it to Ross, which is not exactly true. There's a majority of their product is actually made for Ross. It's sold with the label.
Or Kohl's.
And then it's marked, you see, it's $14.99, was $49.99. And that is... that is deceiving, because they're saying if we sold this at, Adidas.com, you would be paying this much. But since you're buying it here, we're giving it to it for this much.
Yeah.
And so it may be a lower quality material that you're buying. In most cases, it is. But you get this sort of like false sense of like you're getting this deal, but you're actually buying a cheaper product.
You know, I went to Kohl's last week, actually. I needed some slacks,
mm-hmm.
and in like a nice white dress shirt. Super disappointed.
Why?
I think Kohl's has gone downhill.
No, definitely not. It has maintained its okay. its
maybe
integrity.
The one near me. Do you know the you know the one off the highway there? When you got off at my exit,
mm-hmm.
there's a Kohl's right there.
Mm-hmm.
They had one rack, like one thing of khaki dress pants.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And they were all like 36, 38.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. So here's the thing with Kohl's, as I've come to know, is they, first off, you're shopping in like the post school shopping, so they're probably like reorganizing and restocking.
But it was men's, it wasn't boys.
Yeah, and that's another point to be made about that. Kohl's JCPenney, Ross, TJ Maxx, all of these stores, they have over the years downsized their men's section based on sales and revenue data. Mm-hmm. They know that their demographic shopper is predominantly women.
Yeah.
And so,
same with a lot of stores, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty common. Like,
yeah.
If you go to TJ Maxx, mm-hmm. there's like barely any men's clothes.
Barely anything. Which, like, you know, you can't blame them because
sure.
they're trying to put it in the stores what they know will sell. And, you know, they sell a little bit of men's. Maybe they have it. It's like the chicken at Costco. They have it in the back of the store. It's $2.99 a pound. And they keep it at that price because they know it'll draw people in.
Yeah, but where do men get their clothes if they're not getting them at the store?
Dude, Target, bro. Target, anywhere.
But every store has a lot more women's clothes. It's because
yeah.
women have a lot more types of clothing.
I think it's because
like dresses and skirts and pants and shorts. Like men's is just like pants and shorts, t-shirts, dress shirts, you know, sweaters, whatever.
I don't want to generalize or be sexist or fall into like gender stereotypes or norms, but I think sales data would back me up in saying that there's a lot more revenue to be made from the female market than there is in the men's market.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's understandable. Okay. Sure. So maybe they're making more sales, more money off of women. So they sell less men's things. They still carry men's things because men do need to buy clothes. But where do I get khaki dress pants if Kohl's doesn't have them?
I'll tell you where.
Walmart?
No. Well, you can. Yeah, definitely you can.
No, I know.
But I get them at, you know where I get mine from? Hollister.
Really?
Yeah.
But like for like a suit, I mean. Like
for
that,
a suit?
That, like those kind of, you know, like.
Like the chinos or.
No, like what someone would wear, like a suit for like a cocktail party or something.
Yeah, dude. Hollister, bro.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I get those skinny chino
oh, yeah,
khakis.
Okay.
They're nice. I wear them with suit jackets and dress. I mean, that's what I'm wearing right now.
Do you buy them online or you go to the mall? Like, are you afraid when you go inside the mall that like
that.
The kids are gonna make fun of you or something?
Oh yeah.
Like you're gonna get beat up
little,
or something.
I am a little embarrassed by shopping at Hollister because it's something I did when I was in high school. And I feel like I aged out of that brand a bit.
Yeah. But they make good pants.
But they make pretty good. Okay. They make good pants. They don't last very long.
Oh.
I got the chub rub going on my thighs. And
yeah.
so I, and the pants that I, and the way I like to wear them, they're like not hiked up. You know, I'm not like, I haven't hit that phase of my life where I'm hiking my pants up. So I still like to wear it slightly below my waist.
Yeah.
And they're tight. And so there's a lot of stretching going on. Also, never mind. And near my crotch area, a rip always forms. I have bought.
Really?
But I love these pants so much. It's like in life, when you get older, folks, if you find something you like and it's timeless and you wear it well and there's nothing like it that you've found, don't be ashamed and just owning that and loving it and buying it. And that's your thing. For me, it's Hollister khaki pants. I like it. It works for me. They'll bust. Cause I wear them Monday through Friday. It's my uniform for work, quote unquote. And, every single one will eventually break in that particular area.
I went to Kohl's. I was super sad. I feel like there's a little nostalgia going to Kohl's,
mm-hmm.
and it's gone for me. Like, I don't go in there and feel the same way anymore. And especially after this last visit, I was just so disappointed. So I went to Dillard's.
Sounds like A, you need to find yourself another Kohl's. B, You need a little bit of Kohl's cash to turn that frown upside down.
I was excited because if you return an Amazon item at Kohl's, they give you a 20% off coupon and you can use it that day.
Yeah, that's the whole reason they did it.
There's a loophole. Like, if you're like, I need new clothes, mm-hmm. you order something on Amazon, don't open it and return it. I know, people, it's bad for the environment. I'm just saying it's a loophole. I'm not saying I do it. You go and instantly get 20% off. Mm-hmm. It's like getting a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon.
Mm-hmm.
You bring it there, and I'm like, perfect. I'm getting 20% off. It's already pretty cheap at Kohl's. Not too bad of prices.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'm like, where are the pants? Where are the pants?
Yeah, where are the pants? Where are the pants, Kohl's?
So pissed off. Went to Dillard's, which is like a weird store because there's not that many people in there, and it's fucking massive, and they have like every type of clothing you would need. Mm-hmm.
This is like our experience going to Japan into those like departments, those electronic stores, where you're like, how is this a thing?
I think it just can't be much longer. Like, I know they're all trying.
Every time
I
go to Kohl's, I have this like internal struggle with myself where I'm like, I'm at Kohl's, I feel real bad because I'm like, I'm not going to find shame in this. I like Kohl's. I like going to Kohl's. That's why I'm like kind of beating you up a little bit about this, saying you need to give it another chance. I do personally like shopping at Kohl's.
It's like smoking a cigarette for you. You get there after work and you're like,
This stuff good. It's definitely good. Every time like Black Friday rolls around, I'm like, what is Kohl's selling me? I'm getting like $4 shirts that I'm wearing like all year long.
You got your espresso I can get a maker whole, there?
Right? I did. Uh-huh. I bought all that shit off of Kohl's. Like, listen. You can get mid-quality products for like super cheap at Kohl's.
And if you can find them,
Just go online, bro. Ship to store. Don't have it there, they will get it for you.
That's the thing that is, I get anxious when I go into stores like that and don't see people.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I love buying things online and getting them shipped to my house, except clothes. I hate doing that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it because
you're particular.
I'm particular. Like, my body is not just like the most average body. Like, I have more broad shoulders.
He's got things and places that you think shouldn't be there.
So like, I need to try on a shirt or because it's like 75% chance it's not going to fit. And so I like, and especially when you're in a pinch too, you're like, I need this for this weekend or for tomorrow or something. You just run to Kohl's, you just run to Dillard's, and you go and they just have everything there. Like, they're going to have something for you, and you pick it out and you may pay a little bit more, but it's there. Now, fun fact, I did buy a tuxedo on Amazon.
Ooh.
And it worked.
It worked?
It worked.
Damn.
Yeah, it looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
Like, it was probably better looking than the tux I rented from Men's Warehouse.
Oh, not hard
last
to do.
Year.
Not hard to do though. That shit's so bad.
And the rental from Men's Warehouse was like $100-something.
Yeah.
The tuxedo on Amazon was $50.
Mm-hmm. Good lord, this is like some Shein stuff.
Yeah.
Or Temu, whatever the fuck that the kids are doing
these
days.
But it actually lasted. I'll be able to use it for another black tie wedding. Please, friends, stop having black tie weddings.
Dumb as fuck.
Just let me wear a regular suit. I have one.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Why are you requiring everybody else to fucking dress up and fly into your fucking stupid-ass wedding so we can fucking eat fish or chicken
stop
with
having
some vegetables
weddings.
And dance to fucking It's Getting
Cotton
Hot in
Joe.
Here by... Yeah, Cotton Eye Joe, and then go home and fucking be like, why did we do this? No, you know what? You know what's good, though? I have also recently bought a tux.
Yeah.
And
because you need it for something?
I needed a suit. I needed a tux. And, you know, it was actually, like, comparable to renting one from Men's Warehouse.
Yeah.
And I did have to tailor it myself. I did.
Oh, yourself.
I did, yeah, bro.
Okay.
Oh,
the
pants
or the pants.
The
sleeves? Okay.
Specifically
the pants.
The pants.
How
yeah,
did that work out?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. YouTube, you can learn anything from YouTube, kids.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, also remember Chase is an artist.
I'm
most of you aren't.
Yeah.
And I am not either.
You're not me.
So,
bitch.
So there is YouTube, and like you can learn how to do it. Doesn't mean it's gonna turn out good.
No, but with practice, you can.
Yeah, sure.
Luckily, on the first try, I did it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did what's called a hidden seam.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a hidden hem.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
It's you have to like it's so weird. Like I didn't think this was a thing until like I researched it and watched a couple of YouTube videos. But you basically like fold in the pants to the right, and you can like trim the excess off, but you still need like a couple finger lengths of it. And you basically take a thread out and then slip your needle through the thread. Now, the thread meaning like the from the clothes. And you take the single, you pluck a single thread from the clothes, and it's where it's like looped out. You know, you ever do that accidentally with the clothes? And
yeah.
And you slip the needle through that with thread, okay. And you just keep doing that all around.
Must have taken a while.
It took like an hour to do. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
Good.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah.
I think good. I don't say it was good, but because it was my first try and I definitely could learn, but like good sewing technique takes time, I think. Unless you're like a Russian lady who's like so fucking good. The Russians, they're good at that. You get it, you go to a seamstress or a tailor, you know, like get your stuff
she's
taken
like pale
care of.
White, blonde hair.
You go, if you go back, if you open that door and it's a bunch of Russians in the back, you know you're in good hands. they know their way around a sewing machine.
So so you bought this tux? Where'd you buy it from?
I want to say it was the Black Tux.
Oh yeah. Okay. They sell them.
Yeah, they sell them. Yeah. Or the Tux box. One of the startup.
Okay.
Tux rental.
Was that a lot cheaper than going to the store?
It was like $150, and you got the pants and the jacket.
Okay.
You don't get the white shirt. Yeah. I went to Saks Fifth Ave, and got the white shirt. Really nice quality white shirt. And you can like, you know, they have all the sizes, so you just get your size, mm-hmm. you know. That's gonna last you like the good white shirt like that. If you're just wearing it with a tux, because it has like the little like pleated thing.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
runs down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like a tux style, right? You don't wear that like normally. You only wear it with a tux, but you get one that's good. And as long as you're not, like, gaining, like, tons of weight, you can wear that bitch, forever.
You know the problem I get with white shirts? This is really disgusting, but, like, the neck area gets kind of discolored.
Yep.
Can you, like,
it's
otherwise...
brown
the otherwise,
rubs off.
Yeah. No, the shirt's good, great otherwise.
I knew it was fake. I knew your brown was fake the entire
it's
time.
It's just a tan. I rub it on every night. Like, how do you, what, bleach or something?
I don't know, because sometimes bleach can actually like yellow.
Yeah, it'll kill the shirt, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
How do I get that out?
It's a good question.
Don't
never,
tell me awesome from Dollar Tree. It's not going to work.
Well, that's a degreaser, so
well,
probably not.
Probably
it is probably like oil, like skin oil. Yeah,
yeah, skin. It's literally my skin with oil. On
yeah, I
shirt.
Have several white shirts that have that issue.
Yeah.
I don't know how to mitigate that. Or, I mean, like resolve that. You know,
yeah,
it's probably just chemicals.
Yeah, I should probably take it to chemicals. A dry cleaner.
I don't know if dry cleaning. I think that needs like some like.
Yeah, but maybe
thorough.
They can do it. You know what I mean?
You tell them like you go to them, like you do other stuff than just dry clean.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, and they like
they go, whoa,
no.
They're like, is it your spray tan rubbing off on it?
We told you to stop using that.
Yeah,
sorry.
This is your fifth time coming back this week. Stop using it. Donald Trump has that issue.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah, he has to, right?
Yeah.
Like, but he can afford to just have a new shirt every
That's
day.
The thing is, who was it? It was Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Came out recently and said, like, for a whole year. I don't know if this was recently or, like, a couple years ago, but he said previously, a couple years ago, he, instead of, like, washing clothes... Because apparently he hates, like, loathes washing clothes. So he bought a new set of clothes for a whole year, every day. Like, he didn't buy it, like, every day he didn't buy it, but he bought...
I feel like that could be
he didn't
cheaper.
Wear. He didn't reuse any clothes, Which, like, on paper, I was like, oh, he's going to get crucified for this because that doesn't sound very sustainable, Channing.
But he gave them to kids in China.
Yeah, he donated it. He donated it to the children in San Francisco streets.
That's like you could pay someone to do your laundry for a lot less, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, you're Channing Tatum. Why are you doing your own laundry?
Right.
That seems weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wanted to flex. He's like, I can buy a new outfit for every day.
Seems like a weird thing to flex when you know that you're going to get a lot of backlash saying that.
Maybe he was just buying Kohl's. Like, he was just buying $7 t-shirts.
Yeah. Maybe he's real sweaty.
And he's like Adam Sandler. He just wears, like, basketball shorts. Like, a white t-shirt and basketball shorts. Like, $10 for the whole outfit.
Can we just stop and appreciate how good his role in Deadpool 3 was.
Yeah, it's so awkward. Yeah. He was like purposely being awkward.
Wait, hold on.
Right?
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the movie, we're about to spoil a small piece of the movie for you guys. So if you don't want to skip ahead a couple minutes. But anyway, Channing Tatum in Deadpool versus Wolverine. Or Deadpool and Wolverine. I can't remember what the name of it was, but he is, he plays, Gambit.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think the backstory here is that he was in development for a couple years to play Gambit.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And then the movie got dismantled. The production got like shelved. And so as a cool little thing, they brought him into this movie to play the character, to give him that moment.
And Deadpool makes fun of it.
Yes.
He's like, how.
Because the accent is so ridiculous.
Yeah, so, but the accent, like, he's purposely, like, that wasn't going to be the accent in the movie or show that he wanted to do.
I don't know, though. It could have been.
No. because it doesn't, like.
It was so over the top.
It didn't make, like, you didn't understand him because he wasn't using words correctly.
Yeah, I think for comedic effect, they leaned into it like 150%.
I think so. It had to have been.
Yeah, they're like, I wonder if it was like during production, it was like he was doing that to fit the character. And then they were like, yo, that's so dumb, but like amp it up because now it's funny, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like almost a little cringy. It was funny, but cringy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to be pull something like that off, that movie is the perfect platform to do it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There's so many of things in there that was just satire to superhero movies. I think that's the thing, right? That's their whole shtick.
It was a good movie. It was the first movie like in a while that I've really wanted to go see in the theaters.
Yeah, besides Barbie.
Yeah, that was more of like a spur of the moment. I had some time to kill. And we were like, let's go to the movies. Because Sarah and I don't really go to the movies. I like going.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
It's a good novelty.
Yeah, but, and I don't know, I went my own the other day, and it was still enjoyable. But, I just don't go.
Did you get any popcorn or
I didn't.
That's the whole thing, though. That's what, it's expensive. It is. But it does make the movie that much better.
It totally does. And I this was my whole plan. I was like, I'm going to go to the movies. And I was thinking I was going to go like midweek during lunch or something.
Yeah.
And which wouldn't have worked out because I think the movie is like two and a half hours or something like that. Yeah. But I was going to like maybe take off work early and try to get like a matinee just to like spend less on the ticket because I'm weird. And I was like, I'm going to get popcorn and like maybe a candy or something. And I went at like 10 a.m. instead because like I was just busy doing things. And then we got back from a trip and I was like, I'm just going to go because it's going to be out of theaters. Like I'm going to keep waiting. And it already came out of IMAX and I really wanted to see it in IMAX and I couldn't. So I was like, I'm just going to go. And I get to the theater and I'm like, I don't really feel like eating popcorn right now.
At 10 a.m.? Yeah, I get it.
Or candy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just watch it.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish I had those things. Like, that's something I didn't think about at the time, that I would probably enjoy the movie more a little later in the day.
That's the thing with movies now is I when I go, I buy the ticket ahead of time. I get my seat. You know, I like to reserve the seat. You know, I do the whole
it's
recliner.
It's
got to
be
thing.
Recliner.
The recliner it's thing not, is a I'm game changer. Going. It's a game changer. I will say, though, I've seen several movies recently in the stadium seating, and it's fine. They're actually pretty comfy. It's fine.
But you're so close to people.
You are, but...
You hear them giggle.
Yeah, and you're like, shut up.
And they check their phone.
Shut up.
You're like blind. You're like, whoa!
Yeah, like, oh my God. when I go to the movies, I feel bad. And I'm like, I gotta buy some. Because, like, well, they're not making money here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the feeling I get when I go to Kohl's. I'm like, yeah. Oh shit, this could be gone tomorrow.
They even had a bar. And yeah. I think it was open, and I was like, should I get a drink?
10 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's too early for that. Like, why would I drink right now?
Just give them the
I'm
cash.
I'm not in the mood for it.
Just be like, you guys need this more than
yeah,
I do.
I came to the matinee to save money, but here's what I say.
This is for you to make sure you're here tomorrow yeah. in case I want to go see another movie.
It was cool. I went to, it's a huge movie theater.
AMC, right?
Yeah.
You don't get the roller coaster ride in the beginning. That's the only thing.
Yeah, what do they do? I don't even remember what AMC does.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a Regal guy. I got points Regal's with Regal. Great. I got those pre-COVID Regal points. And if anybody knows what I'm talking about, they did the Royal Crown Club. Reward. It's like a rewards club with the Regal. And, you know, pre-COVID, when movies were steadily flowing through the theaters and it was a regular thing to go, I was racking up those points, and through COVID, they like sustained those points, and they even gave you like bonus points to try to incentivize you to go to the movies. So I'm floating in there with like thousands of points. So every time I go to the movie, I get free popcorn.
Oh yeah,
a discounted soda. Mm-hmm. Nothing on the candy though. Oh, I'm out of pocket on that $8 box of candy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what?
Sour Patch Kids.
It is. It's the cost of doing business. I get you guys. They only make money on the concessions.
This is a really. I found out that it's really cheap. It's a really cheap thing to go to the movies.
Yeah, it's a cheap date.
I think that my ticket was like $10 or something, $10 or $11.
People get upset because it used to be cheaper. And that's like the whole thing was like, oh, it's so expensive to go to the movies nowadays.
But I'm thinking
$14
like,
to go to the movies. I'm like, yeah, but like in the grand scheme of things, like for 2 hours to go out and like enjoy yourself, like $14 is not that
but
much.
But when we were kids, it was like $6 or $7.
Yeah,
right?
That's the thing. It's
so
like
it's
double
not
the
that
price.
Much more expensive with like inflation and everything and movies being less going to the movies being less popular.
Yeah.
They have to charge more for it.
They got to charge more for it. And, you know, you go, you buy the popcorn.
And
you
get recliner
candy.
Seats.
Yeah, they
Guys,
improve the facilities.
What do you think you're doing?
Do you want massagers in your seats? Because that's what's coming. But yeah. You got to make sure you invest in the Regal theaters and pay the popcorn fees
right.
and the drink. That's what it is. It's fees on top of the base price of your popcorn. Popcorn costs $2, but they're charging you $8 because there's that $6 popcorn fee
right.
to improve the seats. So you can make sure the next time you come back that there's a nice comfy seat mm-hmm. for you to sit in to watch Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Right. So I went. It was a good time, but I don't know. There's not a lot of movies that have come out in the last year, I feel like, where I've thought I want to go see that.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll
yeah,
watch
the next time Trolls 4 comes out or Sonic 3 comes out, I'll probably
Sonic
go.
Sonic 3.
Yeah.
Didn't see two.
The Minecraft movie. Have you seen the trailer?
I heard it was bad.
The thing is, here's my thing. Here's my little soapbox with the gaming community. They're so toxic. Y'all are so toxic.
Oh, yeah?
Gaming,
you
gamers
saw Borderlands,
are so toxic.
Didn't you? Did you see it? Tell me.
I did not
see
it.
Did you
see
it?
I did not see it.
Do you like, because you're a Kevin Hart fan? Because he's friends with The Rock.
Jack Black. Come on. No, I didn't see it. I heard it was bad. It probably was bad.
Okay, what makes it bad though?
Probably the story.
Wasn't entertaining?
Probably the story.
Or is it bad?
The executives got their greasy little hands in it.
So was it bad to people who like the story in Borderlands, or was it a bad movie? Right.
I think
objectively,
it's a bad
if you never played the game, you just went to go see this random movie.
Yeah, because the thing with like, well, let's use Rotten Tomatoes as an example. you know, the Rotten Tomatoes is a collection of reviews, and it's either a favorable review or a negative review, and then they take the average of that and give you a percentage, right? Those are all movie critics.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you went to Rotten Tomatoes and you look at what is the Borderlands at right now, what percentage do you think?
Of
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
So just based on what I've heard, I would say it's like, it got to be less than 50%.
Yeah. So let's look it up right now because I'm interested. The people rating the movie, they're not all gamers. They don't know the Borderlands lore they haven't played the game. So this is specifically from a movie rating.
Okay.
Not a video game adaptation to a movie rating.
So the tomato meter versus the pop meter?
Yeah, so the tomato reader is critics, the pop meter is the moviegoers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like what would you think that the critics have rated it?
I want to say it's probably like around 10%.
Yeah, it's 10%.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, yeah. Cool. And then the fans, I want to say it's probably like 13%.
53.
53, okay. Yeah. All right, so 53% of fans that have reported to Rotten Tomatoes said they liked it, which means 40%, so it's about half and half. People say they liked it versus not.
Okay.
Yeah.
To give, like, I don't know, comparison, the movie Twisters, mm-hmm. like the new one that came out.
Yeah.
75% critic, 91%.
Yeah. I heard it was decent. Like, I have heard from people who I respect their sort of, like, review of movies. They were like, yeah, it was a good movie.
So critics saying, giving it the 10%, does that mean that 10% of critics liked it, or it's okay?
No, not that they liked it, but that they gave it a favorable review. Yeah,
so 10%, review. I assume, is pretty bad.
Really, really bad.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like your movie will flop.
Now, do they say, is that based on, like, this is a bad movie? Like you shouldn't have made this movie. They just went totally wrong. Or we don't think people will like it.
No, it's basically their...
Like the art of making the movie.
Their opinion of, like, there's, like, several... There's so many things that go into, like, movie reviews. The performance of the actors. The story. Right? How good your story is. Does it have all the, like, bells and whistles of, like, a good storytelling? Sound, cinematography, photography, things like that. They all go that there's so much more that you can, that you can sort of judge a movie on, but those are sort of like the high level things.
Okay. So I just pulled up an article from August 14th. This is from last month. So I guess that Borderlands probably would have been out for like a weekend or a couple weekends. I don't know. When did it come out?
Borderlands came out a few months ago. A
few months ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it had been out for a little bit. And globally, the box office globally was 10 million.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
And they probably sunk like 100 million into it.
Yeah, their budget, production budget, which does that include marketing and stuff too?
No.
No.
Just production.
So production budget of 115 million, it says not including marketing.
Yeah. Usually marketing, you can sort of, with those big blockbuster movies, anything over 100 million is a massive blockbuster movie. Usually the marketing to accompany that is around, it almost matches the production value. So yeah. They probably spent about 100 million to market.
Okay. So this says based on its start, Borderlands is estimated to range a net profit loss of $60 to $110 million.
Oh my God.
That's pretty bad, right?
That's so bad. If you're, what studio produced this? That means that they're going to take such a massive loss and they're going to write this off probably on their taxes. Yeah, that's such a disaster of a movie. Like, that's enough. That's enough to sink basically everybody on that movie. Not the actors. The actors usually escape. the Fallout, but like, if you directed or produced that movie, it's enough to sink your career.
Oh, wow.
That massive.
I could see that. I mean, so it was Lionsgate.
Yeah. Oh, they'll probably be.
How can it turn out so badly?
Listen, reviews and media can sink your movie, you know? Let's just give it the benefit of the doubt that it's watchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
There could be massive influence from the community of the gamers, the movie community. So everybody coming together to dogpile. This is certainly a movie where I feel like people dogpiled onto it and said, yeah, fuck this movie. It's so bad. Don't go see it. It's the worst movie, worst video game adaptation since X or whatever. And it really discourages people from going to say, I was entertaining the idea of seeing this movie.
I was too.
And then I heard this and I was like, oh, I'm not going to go see this movie.
Agreed.
And so there you go. I mean, that's the sort of effect of bad press.
To me, I had found out about the movie and I didn't know about it until it was almost going to come out. And then I thought, oh, that looks interesting. Not knowing anything about the movie, I didn't even know who was in it.
Yeah.
And then, like, nothing against Kevin Hart. I think he's like a great guy probably, and he's done really well for himself. He's pretty funny. But I wouldn't think of this movie as having him in it. Like, he's a comedian, mm-hmm. and Borderlands shouldn't be a comedic movie. It can be funny. Like, it could be like Deadpool. But it's more like about the action and probably like rated R type material.
It does feel sort of adjacent to Deadpool. That was a good comp.
And I think of like Kevin Hart of being in it as like Jumanji or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely had it had Jamie Lee Curtis. Is it Kate Blanchett or
Lord of the Rings? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Uh huh. And then Jack Black. And then there's quite a few big massive stars on there. The only thing I can think of that's like a redeeming quality of bad movies is if the acting's also bad. Because if you have a bad movie and the acting is good, it's still a bad movie. But if you have a bad movie with bad acting, suddenly it's a funny movie and it can become a good movie.
Like a cult classic kind of thing?
Yeah, like The Room, where the acting is so bad, you're like, this is funny to watch because like what they're doing wasn't intended to be funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think I have to watch it for myself. Definitely won't see it in theaters. But once it comes out and it's on a streaming service, I'm going to watch it because I'm really interested in how influential like the gaming community was to it, mm-hmm. versus actually, because I heard a lot of bad things about like the new Lord of the Rings series on Amazon. I think the second season's coming out or has come out. Some people didn't like the Game of Thrones one, and
The Dragons?
Yeah. Mm. And then, like, a lot of the ones on Disney of like, Star Wars. Objectively, I think, like, they're all entertaining. Like, the Star Wars ones, you may not care about them if you're a Star Wars fan, but they're entertaining.
Yeah.
They put a lot of money into them. Same with the Lord of the Rings one. I was entertained by it. So maybe I would be entertained by Borderlands watching it as a movie and not really caring.
I think what studios need to stop doing is taking existing IP, throwing a few stars, big name stars at it, and expecting it to do well. I think they're learning from sort of those mistakes. I think with Borderlands, you know, first and foremost, you could have done that movie without any big names and just focused on making it a good story and having decent production value to it, and it could have done so well. But instead, you focused on sort of like Hollywoodifying it, putting big names to it and expecting it to do good no matter what. You know, with the Minecraft thing, we just saw the trailer the other day. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, I saw the trailer and I was like, I've never really played Minecraft, and I was like, I could see this being like a Mario movie. You know, it's got the animated, but it's got like live action actors.
It'd be entertaining for kids.
And I was like, yeah, this probably will do well. I watched it and didn't see like any problems with it. But the gaming community is like all up in fucking.
Oh, they're mad.
Oh, they're mad. They're like broken up about it. And I'm just like, I don't know. They just that whole thing turns me off so much, is like the toxicity of fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you know
anything.
who did well was Fallout.
Yeah,
they made that series on Amazon.
The Last of Us.
No, Fallout.
I know, but also
The
Last of
Us. You're saying
and
The Last of Us. Yeah, yeah, agree.
Amazing adaptations.
The Last of Us was on what?
The Last of Us is on Max, and then Fallout's on Prime.
Yeah,
but yeah. Good examples of, hey, we don't need a star-studded cast. That sort of distracts from the movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Pedro Pascal, who is a big name.
Because of The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian and also Narcos.
Yeah. And he's a meme on TikTok.
Oh, he is a meme, yeah.
Because of Narcos, I think from that one. Like a clip.
Yeah, just everything that he's done. But there's nobody else in that show that really has like big star status. Same with Fallout. There's maybe one or two people in there that you recognize, and everybody else is like up and coming people. And I think we need to do more of that. I think there's a lot more success. Game of Thrones is a good example. If you look at season one Game of Thrones, there's one person in there where you're like, oh, I recognize that person. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is like, I've never heard of this person before. And they're so good, and they really owned it. And they're not relying on the stars to carry the weight of the show.
All right.
It's the story and the production value and the delicate production. And thoughtfulness to details that really kind of pull everything together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, marketing's a big thing too for media, right?
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know about that Borderlands movie until pretty recently.
Yeah. That's the thing, is if people don't know it exists, they won't go see it.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's a massive thing in
I think it was, I saw a clip from, I think it was Matt Damon recently, who was saying how making movies has changed a lot with the streaming services and like how much money they can, it was something he was saying, like if he makes a movie that's like $100 million, then he has to spend like another $100 million on marketing.
Yeah.
And then he basically was like, I have to make $300 million to make money.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You're like your budget to make it was just a third of what you have to actually make.
If your movie costs $100 million, it better be a fucking movie.
Like, so that's a blockbuster though, right?
Like $100 million movie should be there's gotta be a reason why you spent $100 million on the movie. You know?
Yeah.
There's examples where you can do low budget productions, like Paranormal Activity is a good example of something that costs like $15,000 to make and made millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's right, because that one kind of like was one of those. They had really good marketing though, somehow,
because it was clever in the way they were doing it. They were showing you for the first time that I can remember, they were showing clips of people in the theater jumping out of their seats because of how scary it was.
Right.
It was a really, really clever approach to marketing the movie.
So I just looked up the Deadpool movie and the budget, production budget. Do you know what it was?
I want to say it was probably like $200 million.
Yeah, it was $200 million.
Okay, cool.
So That's funny because in the movie he talks about how like Fox, 20th Century Fox or whatever,
is defunct.
Yeah, but he was like, now that I'm with Disney, like they have like unlimited budget.
Yeah, unlimited resources.
So
yeah.
Like all the scenes are better. He's like, we can do this now.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, actually, the like the beginning scene where he digs up the body.
Yeah, and, you know,
Like that was so cool, and using all the bones and stuff. That was really cool how they were able to do that. Which is pretty crazy what they can do.
Yeah, I love those... I love those like opening Deadpool scenes where they do like the 007 montage of like choreographed movements and things like that with over like sort of popularized music. What was the other thing that they were saying? That he actually does do all of his lines with the mask, but he has to like do voiceover.
Oh yeah, I did hear that because it won't come through the mask.
It won't come through the mask. Yeah.
And don't they have to do something where they like with the movement of the mask?
Not the mouth, but the eyes.
The facial expressions.
Yeah, the facial expressions and the eyes. They're CGI.
Because otherwise, he wouldn't really like. You wouldn't know what he's expressing.
But he also another thing that I saw the other day that's interesting, and I think this is true unless I was lied to, but the IMAX cameras, if you film a movie with IMAX cameras, because you can show movies on IMAX without actually filming them with IMAX cameras, but if you film them with IMAX cameras, it's really loud. Like the camera itself, when it's running and filming, it's like a vacuum is on.
Oh yeah.
And so, in order to get the sound, they basically have to recreate everything in a sound studio. It's like Oppenheimer was filmed with IMAX cameras.
Yeah.
They had to like dub everything. Basically.
Is that worth it? Do they make that much money off IMAX?
For those movies they do, but like for normal movies you would not use IMAX cameras.
I hold up the all-time box office adjusted for inflation, and Deadpool is at 16th.
Wow.
606 million. So they spent 200, and so they
probably
made
another 200.
They made their money back already, right?
Yeah, they made their money back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So Star Wars, The Force Awakens was like the highest one.
The number one is it Inside Out 2? I heard that was like...
Inside Out 2 is number 11.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's
so weird.
It's so weird.
Because of so many kids or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's Disney.
Well, it's interesting because if you look at... So it's like number one, starting from number one, Star Wars, Avengers, Spider-Man, Avatar, Top Gun, Black Panther, Avatar, Avengers,
all
Titanic,
Disney movies.
Jurassic World. Yeah, they spend so much and advertise so much, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they're good at making movies, too. They're entertaining movies. Like, all the movies I just named off. Top Gun Maverick, that's interesting that it made that much money, $718
million.
It was
a good movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it was good, but I mean...
Yeah, it surprised me too. I think it's because there's a big fan base. Tom Cruise has a big fan base.
It was
Top
also
Gun
2022.
In general.
Was there any other movie to see in 2022?
That's also true. Yeah, it was a good time to put out a big heavy hitter movie.
Right after COVID, you like pretty much were filming.
There was
partially
nobody
through the pandemic, probably.
Maybe not even. They probably shot that before the pandemic.
Oh, you think so?
Oh yeah, it takes years of production for something like that movie.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be in production for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Didn't know that. Yeah. So, Inside Out 2 is surprising. Barbie, that one makes sense. That's on here. That was a really, really, really popular one.
What was that ranked at?
12. Right after Inside Out 2.
Oh, okay.
Well, Inside Out 2 came out. Okay, so that one's out now.
It's still out. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
I think
okay.
Go to see it.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I heard it is okay. I've heard it isn't as good as the original, which is kind of shocking to me that it made way more money than the original. But
oh yeah, the original is at number 66, and to my surprise, there's a Despicable Me 4.
Is it really?
Yeah, 2024. It's number 67.
I didn't know they made another one.
I didn't know they had 3.
I just assume they have like a dozen of those movies.
Why do they name them 1, 2, 3, 4? They should come up with more clever names, like Despicable You.
The Despicables.
Yeah.
It's a crossover from The Incredibles and Despicable Me. The Despicables.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big DreamWorks franchise, like IP. They're going to cling on to that forever. That was like a gold mine. That and Shrek. They're making another Shrek.
They are.
Because they got to.
What are
they got everybody back, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is it going to be like Shrek takes over the world?
it's Shrek. Something probably, if I had to guess, there's going to be like some multiverse. Because like, why not? You know? Because that's the thing.
I thought Disney's
every franchise is like, yeah, we're just going to keep this going. And it's going to be the multiverse. They're doing a Toy Story 4 multiverse.
So it's like Shrek dies. And it's like, just kidding. We got him from another universe.
Yeah, we pulled him from the Alpha Omega A universe.
Yeah.
What movie is coming out that you're excited about? Despicable Me 4 or 5?
Dude, I don't know any movies that are coming out. What's coming out?
I don't know. That was funny because like 5 years ago, if you asked me the same question, I'd be like, yeah, this movie. But now I don't even know.
You know, I wanted to see that Twisters movie in the theaters.
Yeah, same. Is it still in theaters? I'd like to go see that one.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Still.
I would bet that it probably is.
There's not enough movies in the circulation for them to, like, push out movies like that so fast, right? They got to keep that shit in until something boots it out.
Yeah, because, like, they have so many movies on, you know, on, like, Netflix and shit. Like, I feel like every day I get a pop-up that's like, is now on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's like a Netflix original.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Twisters is still in theaters. That one, I think, would be a cool one. That would have been a cool one to see in IMAX.
That would have been a cool one to see in IMAX for sure. But they have those 4D theaters now, you know? I feel like that would be a good 4D. Yeah, they blow a little air at your feet. You're like, ooh.
Do you want to see Beetlejuice?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that one I'm definitely excited to see.
I saw the trailer for like when I went to go see.
I love the original. It's so good. I love Michael Keaton. I think he's having a moment, you know, ever since he did the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse where he reprised his role as Batman. I think he's in the limelight.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
Looking at other movies, so actually that comes out tomorrow.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, apparently.
Maybe I'll go see it.
Let's see what else is coming out. A lot of movies that I've never heard of.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see. Is
Transformers 1?
Is there another? Of course there's a Transformers. When is there not a... When they make one, they're like, okay, so what's next? Optimus Prime gets married and then divorced. So we got to do a whole movie about that.
I feel like I saw a couple trailers that I was interested in, but I don't remember.
Yeah, Janie does a thing where she'll just watch trailers for like an hour straight.
What?
Yeah, because on Apple TV they have like a whole thing of like where you can just watch trailers. Yeah,
it's not like on YouTube. Someone can put it together.
No, in fact, I used to do that when I was younger. I'd go to Apple iTunes, and they would have like coming soon trailers. I would just watch all the trailers through that. Good way to get your trailer fix on.
So, there's a new Joker movie coming out.
There's
in
that
in October.
Yep.
How does it already have a rating?
It does?
Yeah, how?
Is it a positive review or a negative?
61.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Based on 2 reviews? 3 reviews?
Yeah, right.
Wait, let's do the math. How many reviews do you need to get 61%?
44.
It already has 44. It goes through, some of those movies, they go through the festival circuit.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
before they're released for theatrical.
So there's like, there's that, The Apprentice one about Trump.
Oh, sure.
Like that one, I've heard, like people have watched it, right, at film festivals and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's
kind of
like what you're talking about.
Uh huh, yep.
Yeah. Let's see, nothing else good. There's one called Am I Racist?
Yes.
The Babadook? Re-releasing?
Oh, Babadook 2?
No, just re-releasing.
Oh, dumb.
I don't know what that means.
That's so dumb.
Captain America? February? I know, I saw the trailer, I was like...
You know, like, let's just put a cap on
that. What is Avengers Doomsday? 2026?
Don't even try to talk to me about
it. What is this list of movies?
Don't try to say, oh, we should go see another stupid Marvel movie. Really? They're all dumb now.
What do you mean they're... Oh, after Endgame?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, washed up. I feel like they need to, like, slow down the velocity of movies and TV shows from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And Star Wars. You know, slow it down. Make it less obtainable. Get a little bit of, like, desire building up. You know? Like, make people want to be excited about it again.
You know, there's probably a lot of people who are...
Oh, yeah. There's, like, the Disney adults. That's who I, like, sort of kind of lob those people in. Like, if you're like, oh, my God, Ant-Man 4, it's going to be the most amazing movie. Sorry if, like, you're one of those people, but...
Did you... In Deadpool, in the weird time place, it was Ant-Man's body.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Sick.
Yeah, you know what else? Red One, did you see that?
No.
About Santa Claus?
Mm-mm.
You didn't see that trailer?
Red One.
Mufasa?
Nah.
Did you see that?
Nope.
The Lion King?
Nope. I never saw I've seen Mufasa. I haven't seen I've seen the trailer for Mufasa, but I have not seen The Lion King live. I don't even think you could call it live action, but... Like the remake of The Lion King.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it either.
I have not seen it.
But yeah, Mufasa, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Mufasa.
Interesting.
Could be. If the story's good, that's all that matters, and the execution is well done.
Avatar 3.
Yeah, dude.
In December of 2025?
Really?
That's what this says.
Oh, wow. I was expecting another, like, 10 years.
Yeah, I think the technology's there now, right? So
there, James Cameron's like, I'm... gonna die soon.
Yeah.
Gotta pump these out. I promised Disney in my contract that I gotta do this.
You already spent the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last one was okay, right? What did you
think? The Avatar movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was okay.
Yeah. It's a little long.
It was okay.
Yeah. Wasn't good as it was good. I don't think it had the oomph impact that it did culturally when the first one came out, but made a lot of money. I think it was justified. It was good.
Good. Yeah,
yeah. I was into it.
It was pretty good. The only other interesting thing is the Minecraft movie
coming to a theater near you.
How is there? There's nothing else for the rest of the year, basically.
Yeah.
Don't they do aren't movies supposed to come out in the holidays? People go to the movies and shit.
I imagine there could be.
Is that not a popular time for movies?
It is. Yeah, it's very really.
Well, there's really
Thanksgiving.
There's not a lot coming
Christmas.
Out.
Well, I mean, there's going to be Twisters that probably will still be in theaters.
Yeah. I don't know. Not good.
Well, let's wrap this bitch up.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us talk about movies. You now know what my favorite movie is.
You now know what's coming out.
Yeah, you know what's coming out. So we'll see you at the theaters. And if we don't, we'll know that you do not support movie theaters.
Yep.
And which also means you probably don't support big box stores like Kohl's and Dillard's and Saks and Nordstrom.
Yep.
Fuck you.
And next episode, you'll catch us reading off the movie times for Twisters and all the big cities.
Yeah. And also, we're going to be doing a critics review. I've got my movie critic license. I signed up for it while we were doing this podcast.
We're going to be reviewing Despicable Me 4.
No. Twisters.
Oh, Twisters. Yeah.
We're going to be doing that. So tune in next time and you'll see that with the next amazing cocktail that hopefully won't make me see these weird smiley faces.
Yep. And until next time, adios.